WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. JMU considers a tuition increase for next year. Heizer Khan will speak at PVCC's commencement this spring. And in the first of a WMRA series on local jails, we explore a new recovery program at the jail in Front Royal that aims to keep offenders out of jail by treating their addictions. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, April 11th. James Madison University's Board of Visitors is considering an increase in tuition and mandatory fees for the next academic year. WHSV-TV reports that the Board of Visitors discussed the increase at Tuesday night's public meeting. In-state students could see an increase of up to 4%, and tuition for out-of-state students would grow between 2 and 4%. Comprehensive fees would also increase between 3 and 4%. Factors driving up the costs include raises for faculty and staff, additional funds for staffing and operations, debt services, indirect costs, and student services. The Gold Star father who spoke out against then-presidential candidate Donald Trump will be the featured speaker at the graduation for Piedmont Virginia Community College. Heizer Khan will speak at PVCC's commencement in May. His son, U.S. Army Captain Humayun Khan, was killed in Iraq in 2004. Captain Khan was an alumnus of the University of Virginia. He was awarded a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star. Heizer Khan became well known for his criticism of Trump during the 2016 Democratic National Convention. He was born in Pakistan and became a U.S. citizen in 1986. The Charlottesville resident has law degrees from Harvard University and the University of Missouri. The Spotsylvania County Board of Supervisors approved a special use permit Tuesday night for the first major section of a solar facility. The 500-megawatt facility would be the largest on the East Coast, as Charles Fishburne from partner station WCVE reports.
It has been a highly controversial proposal, with hundreds of residents weighing in both for and against the 3,300-acre solar farm. But the 5-2 vote on Site A, the largest section, was a breakthrough for the developer.
Really bringing in clean, renewable energy, putting Spotsylvania on the map.
S-Power's Ryan Kramer.
It's going to be an amazing thing throughout the industry.
The board agreed to modify the Planning Commission's original recommendation against cadmium telluride panels, cheaper but considered less safe than silicon, to allow up to 30% of the panels to be CadTel. Other conditions would restrict construction noise, burning and traffic in the area, and extend setbacks. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Opponents argued the installation would be too big, too close, and present unknown risks. The local Sierra Club and the Virginia Chamber of Commerce say it offers more jobs, tax revenue, and clean energy. The Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles says the overall number of traffic crash fatalities in the state dropped in 2018. The DMV's Highway Safety Office says the decrease was the first since 2014. Distracted driving-related fatalities plunged by 39%. But alcohol-related fatalities increased by 12%, and fatalities for teen drivers increased by 23%. Researchers at the University of Virginia are using some new data to learn about a very old subject, the Civil War. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Recently digitized census records are shining a new light on population data from the 1860s.
We do this for the 21st century. I didn't see any reason why we couldn't do something similar for the 19th century.
Hamilton Lombard at the Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service at UVA crunched the numbers from the newly available records and found that the western reaches of Virginia had the most population loss.
Some counties' populations were reduced by a third from what they should have been by the war, but some of the counties most impacted by the war didn't have any major battles, but there was an indirect effect which cut off population flow into there, cut off investment.
Allegheny, for example, lost about half its population, even though there were no major battles in the county. On the other end of the spectrum, parts of Virginia actually ended up gaining population because of the steady stream of refugees.
Two big areas where people moved to were the D.C. outskirts, what's Arlington County today, and Alexandria, a little bit of Fairfax, but also Hampton Roads. Many of those were former slaves who moved into what was called a contraband camp at the time that the government had set up.
Across the South, Texas and Arkansas were the most impacted by the war because they would have otherwise received a steady stream of settlers, including an estimated 200,000 people who would have left Virginia and headed west if not for the war. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, according to the superintendent of the Rappahannock Shenandoah Warren Regional Jail, it's in Front Royal, locking up people with substance use disorders simply does not work. In the first in an occasional series on local jails, WMRA's Andrew Jenner reports on RSW's partnership with a Richmond-based recovery organization.
I'm just looking forward to getting out here. A lot of men need this program.
In a few moments, Dominique Hinton will walk out of the RSW Regional Jail in Front Royal. He's headed to Richmond to begin the reentry portion of the jail's new peer-based recovery program.
This is something I'm most definitely looking forward to, just for to help me get my life back on track.
The program began last fall at RSW. It's designed to help people whose addictions keep landing them behind bars. Superintendent Russ Gilkison guesses that 90% of those incarcerated here fit that description.
They're either in here actively for using or selling, or they've committed another crime of theft or whatever to support their habit, or they violated their probation from a previous incarceration.
After more than 20 years in corrections, Gilkison is ready for a new approach.
When we just hold people in jail, we're just warehousing people. We've got to find new ways to try to address the addiction disease that they have.
That's where Christopher Ronquist comes in.
I am the project director of Virginia Recovery and Reentry. It is a project that is designed to create, develop, implement, and operate substance use recovery programs in a jail setting.
Ronquist works for the McShin Foundation, a Richmond organization that runs a peer-based recovery program for people with substance use disorders. Peer-based means that most staff have been through the program themselves. Ronquist, who is in active recovery, started in January 2015 while he was in jail in Hanover County.
It provided the hope that I could live differently than I had been living all the years that I had been in active addiction. And they came in and they made me believe that recovery was possible and attainable for somebody like me.
After release, Ronquist, who had been arrested 64 times, completed the McShin Foundation's reentry program.
I never thought in a million years that not only would I not be incarcerated for the rest of my life or dead from a drug overdose, but I'd be allowed to go in and out of jails and given the same hope that was given to me.
There was a time I probably wouldn't even sit across the table with a guy like Chris.
That's Gilkison again, sitting across the table from Ronquist.
I used to be the guy to lock him up, make him do their time. That doesn't work.
Participants in the RSW program live together in two recovery pods, one for men and one for women. There, they spend 5 hours a day in facilitated groups.
They do trauma classes. They address anger, communication skills, money, budgeting.
There's space for 60 men and 30 women in the two recovery pods. Both are nearly full. At least once a week, Ronquist leads group sessions. Other facilitators come to the jail on other days.
They've bought whiteboards so that I can go in and do what we call chalk talk. We have videos. We bring in guest speakers. We address every aspect that we can think of to help somebody not recidivate or relapse.
The program's reentry component is key to that. After release, participants begin a 28-day intensive residential program in Richmond, followed by a move to a sober living home, where they can stay for a few months as they find jobs and new footing in life. Half the funding for the RSW program is a $200,000 grant from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The McShin Foundation is paying the other half. John Schinholzer is the group's president and co-founder.
Every jail and every prison in America should have this type of program. The best studies on average are showing a 20% reduction in recidivism for these type of programs. They pay for themselves. They create healthier communities. It's almost sinful and disgraceful that this stuff ain't happening in facilities all across America.
Gilkison is cautiously optimistic that the new program is a step in the right direction.
Time will tell. We've had 5 people successful so far. And I'm sure we're going to have people that are going to have initial successes that may relapse. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's just part of the recovery process from what I've seen.
The last of several doors at RSW opens and clangs shut. Hinton and Ronquist step out into bright sunshine. They head toward a waiting truck, bound for Richmond and the start of the reentry process.
I'm going to go ahead and watch these men who actually out here walking it. I'm going to see if I can follow them and help change my life.
Of the several hundred people per year who cycle through the McShin Foundation's program, Schinholzer said, about 40% remain engaged in their recovery 2 years later. That's a rate they're proud of. Still, that means there are also plenty of setbacks. Prior to this story airing, Hinton was dismissed for noncompliance and returned to RSW. comparing substance use disorder to other chronic diseases like diabetes and hypertension, Shinholzer said they expect and prepare for unsuccessful attempts at recovery, and frequently readmit participants when they're ready to try again. For WMRA News, I'm Andrew Jenner.
You can learn more about that story through the links that we've provided at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.